All right, gang, welcome to part two of my conversation with Subi Ghosh from Stream Companies. You know, in this episode, it's a continuation of part one. If you haven't already listened to part one, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. And then come right back over here where we pick up the conversation and talk about, oh, so many exciting things. We talk about artificial intelligence. We talk about streamlining processes. We talk about all of that and what it means for your work here in the auto industry in the year 2024 and beyond. Let's dig in.
I would like to flip the script a little bit because I think you have more insight that I would love to kind of ask you about. You cool with that?
Yeah. Well, and this is interesting because, wait, AI's not taking my job. Subi's taking my job.
I am.
But I wanted to tie a bow on this though, because on this concept, because you know, how many times I hear dealers reach out to me and say, well, our opportunities are down or our leads are down. And the first thing I go and do is look at how many vehicles are missing photos, missing descriptions. And they go, well, why is that a big deal? And I said, because if they're missing photos and descriptions, they're not getting pumped out into your, you know, your VIN specific inventory ads. And they're like, they're not. And I'm like, you've got 600 units that aren't getting advertised right now.
Seems basic enough. And I feel like this is the theme, right? For every conversation I've had that resulted in a, hey, this needs to be fixed. People need to be aware. It's like a back to basics thing. So when people are listening to you right now, I don't want them to glaze over. I really want to dive into this because of the many things we talk about, this is something that, you know, inventory levels and management and strategy and decisions has. There was an inventory solution platform that came out and we leaned in and it did the work for us, right? It did its job, but no one's really evolved it since then to really be a proactive measure to be a part of the overall consumer experience.
Right.
So if we're talking problems and solutions, why did you guys decide outside of the fact that, as you were talking about, you know, you were seeing some glaring issues. So can we talk about what those were? What were the big issues that you felt like you had to solve for?
The number one biggest issue, I think, it, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but it's speed to market. The longer your vehicle sits there, not reaching the airwaves or the ether, so to speak, is another day that nobody knows it exists. And you think about that in contrast to like, what's that old saying? It's like, well, if a tree fell in the forest and no one was there to hear it, how loud was it? Or whatever that weird quote is. Okay. But if that inventory is sitting on your lot, not being merchandised and promoted, how many people know it exists? And then if you break that down and marry it to what you were talking about how much ad dollars are being wasted on irrelevant advertising, imagine the impact on a dealer's marketing budget that they can't account for yet because they don't realize they're spending the brunt of their money advertising only the merchandised vehicles. So that's something, you know, you say return to basics and the salty Italian Portuguese guy goes, how do we return to something we weren't even doing to begin with?
Yeah. So it's this back to basics. Let's merchandise the right way. Let's pick the right vehicles that our consumers are looking for. Let's position it the right way. Let's price it the right way. But doing all of that seems cumbersome, right? That's a lot of work to be able to analyze that. This is the effort I was telling you about. To layer all that stuff together is incredible amounts of effort.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I believe we've solved for is how do we unify all of the different streams of data into a single hub. So you talk about CDP as kind of the hub of customer data. What I see we also need from an inventory perspective is that hub for inventory data that can feed information bidirectionally. So for example, you know, a dealership will have a V-Auto or a VINQ, right, as their primary driver. And that's fantastic. Where the problem occurs now is the relay of information, the relay is what takes time. And the relay, you know, so for example, let's look at Chevrolet dealers. Chevrolet dealers have to have their inventory go from the ILM or inventory management system to another platform. That platform, we're just going to call it R2D2, even though we all, Chevy dealers all know what it's actually called, has to then send it to the website provider. The website provider then has to display it on the website. And oh, by the way, if you want your inventory anywhere else, you have to light up another feed. You have to get with the original source. And wait, who's managing that piece now? And how come prices are wrong on this site and accurate on that site? How come my website's missing information? By the way, Subi, just last night, a dealer group here in Texas reached out to me and said, all of the vehicles are not on our website right now. Just something happened at 7 p.m. and every piece of inventory is gone. It shows zero inventory on our site.
I'm having flashbacks.
Well, you say back to basics, but the reality is dealers are living with this struggle every day. It has not yet been solved for. So
are you telling me that the issues that I dealt with having to figure out solutions to keep the pricing consistent and make it happen fast, because, you know, my team would sell it, I would need to pull it immediately, or, you know, they sold it and a sister store needs to update something. Like all those things are still taking time. It's not instant.
Still to this day. Nothing's changed until now. I mean, that's why we stepped in and said, wait a minute. We looked at our platform that we had built and how the client partners we had were using it. And we found one of two things. There was a good group that were like, we want no other platform. We're just going to use this as our primary driver. We want to use it, walk out onto the lot, scan the VIN code, bring up all the vehicle data, take the pictures, and done. The vehicle's merchandised. There's that group. There's another group that, to your point, uses it in kind of this hybrid fashion. They say, hey, I want pricing data to come from source A. I want photos to come from source B. I want descriptions to come from source C. I want whatever it might be, you know, the Carfax to come in. I want an auto verify, or we're using AutoFi for this service. And we're now all of a sudden, guess what? You have a Christmas tree full of ornaments that don't.
And it's not even fully accurate. I've been in I've purchased vehicles over the last few years, multiples, and helped some friends. It is still super frustrating because it's not accurate from color to trim to what features are in that vehicle. I think a lot of people sometimes blame the websites, but the websites can only parse through what they're given.
Correct.
And then segment it to be able to fit into those filters. And so I think that that's fascinating that, you know, you've come up with a way to evolve something that honestly seems so basic, but so necessary for both the consumer, but also the dealer, who that's a lot of effort to try to fix on their own.
Have we just achieved a magical union? Because two things are required in order to make money in this world. And I'm going to simplify it because we're talking about being back to basics. You need a product to sell inventory. You need a customer to sell it to, CDP.
Yeah.
We're essentially saying, where things get convoluted. I see this day in and day out, Subi, to this day. Dealers submit a support ticket and say, hey, prices aren't accurate on insert site here. And we go and look and we go, oh, that's because the source wasn't sending accurate information. So what we do is we inject ourselves in the middle, call us the Christmas tree topper, where now information comes into our system, similar to a CDP, gets cleansed, normalized, reformatted accurately, and then shot back out in both directions.
The CDP inventory.
It's accurate everywhere.
It's interesting. That's super fascinating. But also, I mean, how have we not gone there before? How is this just happening when we were hungry for this back when there was a certain purchase of a certain inventory listing site that caused so many dealers, myself included, to go dark for like a week, if not more. And even at that time, this is something we were shouting about. How is this not instant? How is this not more easier to use? But also being able to extrapolate. And I think this is the thing that I love about the CDP discussion, right? A good technology partner doesn't just give you the data. It tells you how you can easily take action on that data. And you're saying that that is possible within the inventory realm.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a non-issue at this point in the game. The fact that it hasn't been solved for until we developed our solution is an indication that we have perhaps, as providers, grown out of touch with the actual demand where the rubber meets the road. Hey, before we hop back into this episode of the Dealer Playbook, we got to give a shout out to today's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps progressive dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. And their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu, all in one powerful platform that bridges the gap between the CRM and DMS. Dealerships with AutoFi can manage the floor more efficiently, fast-track the yes, and make better lending decisions, enabling them to sell cars faster with higher satisfaction and more profit. In fact, deals with AutoFi take an average of 28 minutes from customer check-in to loan approval, and dealers are making $411 more back-end PVR per deal. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook to learn more. That's autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. All right, let's hop back into this episode. Imagine coming in to your dealership and not having to worry about whether or not your information is accurate across the web any longer. Imagine your GM or sales manager calling you and saying, hey, the Johansson family is coming in at 3 p.m., but the price on our website is wrong. And you and today there are this is happening today, right? Dealers are going, oh, if I make the change in my inventory right now, it's not going to show up on my website for another 24 hours. Oh, nay, nay, Subi, speed to market matters. Speed to market
is always
happening.
We have an API, but that API is limited and you'll see it at some point in the next, it's like a delivery window, right? Like 2 to 75 hours.
So we talk about
actionable. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking, returning to basics, speed to market and effective merchandising is a basic. Mm-hmm. And we're not returning to it. We're actually doing it now. And when it comes to being relevant to customer, that's not a basic. That is something that's always existed since the dawn of time. The more relevancy there is between people, product, the faster we can monetize, the faster we can build relationships of trust with people, the faster we can share through our CDP and our email systems and our text messaging systems information that people actually care about. And
thus
then,
increasing the bettering the
loyalty,
retention, consumer experience gets, significantly improved, which is, I think, the thing that's lacking right now, right? Like, that's the thing that people talk about it, but don't solve for it. Right. We say, you've got to make the experience better. You've got to make the experience better, but they focus it solely on the showroom experience. And that is crucial, right? That is the crux of it. However, pre and post sale, there's so much more touch point to the consumer that we sometimes ignore. And we spend a lot more to grab a new customer than we do to take care of the ones that are in our database. So I think it's a really interesting discussion, and I'm getting some ideas. We should jump on a call after this.
To drive that point home, it's shocking, having moved from Canada to Dallas. There are dealerships who have more names in their CRM of purchased customers, closed deals, than some of the biggest cities in Canada. population wise. Do you know like the sixth largest city in Canada is like maybe 250,000 people? There are CRMs that have that many people in them.
Wait, no way. 250,000 people?
Well, you got Toronto, but Toronto of itself isn't as big as it is until you factor in all of the suburbs. So you're 8-9 million people in that city, but it's the biggest city in Canada by far. Then yeah. You've got Vancouver, maybe Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa, and Montreal. The rest of like the average city in Canada is like 15,000 people.
Yeah, I was going to say 250,000 is just like one wedding party of Sri Lankans in Toronto. So
that was like how many people were on your wedding invite list, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, I mean, this is the year. This is the year we finally make it happen. On the heels of the, dare I say, pandemic, I try not to talk about it anymore on the show. But on the heels of that, you know what happened? It made the population en masse focus back in on what matters most. Human connection matters most. Relevancy matters most. And when it comes to commerce, speed to market matters most.
Absolutely.
Accurate pricing, accurate descriptions, accurate photos, accurate videos, all over wherever you want to share them. Ease of access.
It has to be easy.
So that we have more time.
Yeah. And instant gratification too, right? Like we're not waiting. We're not waiting for you to figure out how to give me the results I am looking for. If you just don't have it, if your filters, if your descriptions, if your merchandising isn't what I need it to be, I'm going somewhere else because the options are endless and it's in my fingertips. And I personally, when shopping for a recent vehicle, gave this dealership multiple opportunities to respond and engage. They didn't. I got the exact car I wanted from KC, built and delivered to my home. And I signed for it in my garage and they delivered it to me. And I'm someone who's in the industry that went through channels to try to get through to them. And the fact that even I am frustrated by it can only speak to the general consumer, which is why we've already seen huge, huge entities coming into this space that are looking to revolutionize the space and the consumer experience. And we can complain about it all day long because we want our industry to stay true to its roots and consumer focused and all of those things that are so beautiful about this. I love this industry. I don't want to make it this transactional experience because of a purchase of this caliber and this size should be an exciting human experience. But can we really complain about these entities coming in to fix it if we're not willing to do it ourselves? So this year has to be the year of prioritizing consumer experience above and beyond just the in-showroom sales process. It's got to be the entire sales process, and it's got to be the entire communication of the life cycle of the consumer. And it's got to be easy to engage with you. It's got to be easy to be influenced, right? I want to be influenced. So, and that comes back to, you know, are we merchandising right? Are we building our audiences? And are we activating on those audiences in the right way with the right message? How many times have we said the same thing in the last 15 years?
And how many times when we hear the same thing, you look around the room and there are still those. And by the way, DPB gang, you know, I love you, but how many are there still going, oh, yeah, like the first time they've heard it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. You know what we should do? We should merchandise effectively. Can I like put a little bee in your bonnet? Because I think it goes one step further. And by the way, I don't know that anybody in the 10 years of running this show has so organically taken the show over.
I almost forgot that we were doing this, to be really honest with you, because we do this so much where we set up these Teams calls and we just jump on and like pick each other's brains in like a fake podcast because we're just generally interested. So apologies for completely derailing your show no promises that I will never do it again.
New year. New year, new me. I might let every guest moving forward. No, I'm not going to do that.
How dare you? This is a new thing now. I'll just show up in random interviews.
I want to kind of bring this full circle because it started with this concept of AI allowing us to focus on what we should be focused on as humans. Like AI is not going to be able to help me connect with a human being and feel the energy and read the cues and all of that as much as another person yet. So what can we have AI do? Because I think there's a lot of people that are worried about it. I think we're going to hear a lot about it, AI at NADA.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of plant this in your mind, going full circle back to that point of let AI do the things that you shouldn't have to spend your time on.
Yeah.
When it comes to this whole experience of speed to market and connection, imagine there was a company with a bearded brute of a CEO who said, yeah, but you know what we could do is we could help the dealer analyze their inventory data faster with the power of AI.
So as the lead interviewer for this podcast, I would like to, I feel that because we're immersed in these products, and please feel free to cut this if you need to, but because we're immersed in the worlds around us, we are so cautious of pitching. And so what we do is we talk about the theory behind it, because there are people in this space that are so passionate about making sure the education is correct. And I feel like you and I, we've talked about this a lot. Like, let's push away the people that are doing the self-serving education to just push their product by talking about the actual education, which is, you know, I feel like what we've done a lot of, you know, what are cookies and helping people to come along for the ride and then make their own decisions. But I also think that there's a point where we have to be very direct and give tangible examples. And so even though it might feel pitchy to you, can you talk through when you say the strategy behind it, the actionable insights that I can take, like what are the types of things that I can do? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I thought you were going somewhere else. I thought you were going to ask me about my beard regiment in the morning. I don't know why. I just, yes.
Because that's what we do when we're talking, just the two of us, just throw in a wrench. But no, really, what are the examples and tangible lists and insights that I can take from something like this that would make my efforts better because now I have a technology to do that? What kind of...
Yeah. What if I told you that the majority of vehicles on the road are white, silver, and black? And then nobody wants your stupid red car or your orange car. So knowing that, imagine going to auction now or going to wholesale a vehicle or going to, you know, acquire vehicles off the street, knowing that the majority of the vehicles you're selling are a specific color in a specific mile range and a specific odometer range, and not having to load up a spreadsheet manually to try and discover that data and sit in meetings on meetings on meetings, wondering why nobody's buying your blue or orange car. What if you knew exactly down to the penny how much it cost you to merchandise that vehicle without having to light up a calculator, and you knew how long it takes your sales team on average to sell that vehicle, and factoring in all of the costs on how much it costs to keep that unit in the slot day by day? What if you knew that your highest selling vehicles, even though you're the truck store, what if you all of a sudden knew with 99.9% conclusivity that your most popular vehicle sold is a black sedan between the age of 28 days and 43 days?
I feel like I would be able to purchase based off of science, and instead of this one guy who's been going to auctions since 1982 that knows exactly what vehicles we need, but they just sit there for a year. So I think that that would save us a lot of time and energy and increase our profits. Yeah.
Well, that's something that we're working on. And that's just the analysis piece, to save time on the analysis so that you can make better, take better action, take more efficient action.
Would it be delivered to me, or would I have to go in and extrapolate? Like, is this an effort or a pattern?
Think of the power of, think of if Siri was actually intelligent, but you didn't talk to it. You could prompt it and ask it these questions and have it delivered to you like that.
Oh, that's cool. About my own inventory. Just like, what is my best?
Right.
Vehicle? Like, what? Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's powered by your inventory. So it's specific to your inventory data and your market and your customer base and. But then imagine that's the analysis piece. That's one aspect of AI. The other aspect is where you spend all of your time, which is managing the to-dos. So what if you were able to prompt your inventory system and say, how many vehicles are missing descriptions? Oh, here's 73 vehicles that are missing descriptions. Would you like me to create those for you? Yes. Done. Would you like that done every time a vehicle is missing a description? Yes. Consider it done. Just factor in, like, how much time did that person save so that then they can go and focus their time, energy, and talents where they're going to be best suited. We have this thing in our industry, if we're really talking about getting back to basics, we have this thing in our industry where we're like, well, I never have time for professional development, but that's what my owner wants, but I don't have the time because I'm doing all of these routine, mundane tasks. Let the system do the task for you. Send my vehicles to Auto Trader. Would you like that done every day? Yes. What about every hour? Yes.
It's funny because when you're in the tech world, this seems so basic, but it's going to be mind-blowing to so many that this type of assistance is so easily and readily available to them to be able to.
They're going to feel like Tony Stark. They're going to feel like Tony Stark, Subi.
Yeah, I like that.
That's something that is coming, and it's coming quickly. I choose going into 2024. Yeah, like I choose to be the one that introduces our industry to this. Like you've pointed out that I've introduced this industry to so many different things, but I am spearheading this and bringing it to the industry because it's so needed. The inventory, Christmas tree hopper, all of that kind of stuff is already fully functional. It's already happening for hundreds and hundreds of dealerships. The assistant piece, the AI piece, is happening already. And so... Ooh. So imagine just the time savings, the speed to market, hey, can you send me a daily inventory performance report? Yes. When would you like it? 7 a.m. I will send it to you every morning at 7 a.m. So now this
marketer
or this manager is driving to work and they get a text message and an email that gives them the data they're looking for right now. That's where things are headed.
I hate to sound like a commercial, but that's pretty awesome. And I for one, being your non-biological sister, I'm really excited I am personally involved in some projects that stemmed from this is broken in the industry and I want to make it better. And so I'm really excited to share that with you. Very soon, but I feel like there's others that have really had that same heart. And I think that's why you and I get along so well. So I feel like you're going to make some waves in this industry, simply not that you haven't already, but by simply providing a solution and fixing something that's been broken for so long that I think that you'll get a lot of support for, not just emotionally from people that love you, but also just
that means
people
a lot.
Who believe in what you're doing.
What I'm really curious about now, though, is as we wind down, will you take the reins and close out this episode? Or are you going to turn it back to me, Subi Ghosh?
We can edit this in. Tell me exactly how you close, and then I'll mimic it because I think that I'll just start with like challenge accepted.
I just turn it back over to the guest and say, how can those listening and
that's it. Get in? Yes.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. This was very enlightening. Let me ask you.
Yes, I feel like I want that the, is how
I,
we should
I
think close.
I should close because I want them to look you up.
I think that that is how we should close, is me doing it, but then you like laugh okay. because, you know, all right.
Okay.
So as Go we, ahead. As we wrap up, you know, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. And I love the conversation we've had. Now for our listeners, how do they get in touch with you, Michael?
It's like you've listened to an episode or two.
Just a couple.
Hey, connect with me on LinkedIn. Make sure you subscribe to the pod for crying out loud and visit flexdealer.com. I would love for you to visit flexdealer.com. We're doing some crazy things over there. But, you know, we're not ending on me. Subi. I've had so much fun. Yes. I always love connecting with you. How can the DPB audience connect with you and learn more about first party data? And where are they looking for you at? Because NADA is coming up at time of listening. Hey, if you're listening in the future, just ignore this part. But if you're not listening in the future and we haven't gone to NADA yet in 2024 in Las Vegas, how do we connect with you there? What are we looking out for?
Absolutely. So on socials, you can find me, Subi Ghosh. I'm always connected to Michael pretty much anywhere. But LinkedIn is probably the one that I check the most, or, you know, Facebook, Instagram, I'm everywhere. Or you can email me at subi.ghosh@streamcompanies.com. I love engaging and solving people's problems, so I'm happy to do that. But specifically at NADA, I will be at booth 4921W, and I know that by heart because I'm planning the booth and I'm really excited about it. So come and tell me what you think of the design. Yes, but I will be there with Stream Companies, my team, probably wearing orange, lots of it, alongside our partners at Full Throttle. They'll be there. And so if you really want to learn about how to really take advantage of your first party data, I will introduce you to some fantastic, brilliant people that are doing some incredibly patented, incredible things. So really exciting.
All right. I am looking forward to it, Subi. You know, I love you. Thank you so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook podcast.
Thanks for letting me take over and interview you. I was just super curious.
There's a first for everything.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you in about a week when we do this again on our regularly scheduled check-ins.
I love it. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dealer Playbook podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please subscribe, share, and hit that like button. You can also join us and the DPB community on social media. Check back next week for a new Dealer Playbook episode. Thanks so much for joining.